So here we are, Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph of Megillas Esther. Mordechai HaTzadik has given his fantastic pep talk that if Esther does not step up, there will still be Revach VeHatzala Yamod LaYehudim Mimakom Acher. Vayihi Bayom HaShalishi. And so it was on the third day. The third day of what? The third day of fasting, which is the first day of Pesach now. The third day of waiting. And it's very interesting. A comment. There's a book by a woman named Andrea Kohler called Passing Time, An Essay on Waiting. And she says there is no growth, no development without waiting between the not yet and the no longer while we wait for the next step. It's a difficult time suspended between the past and the very uncertain future. And the reason that I mention this is because Erica Brown makes a beautiful connection. She points out, she wrote an article once called The Liminality of 3 Days and Three Nights, where she talks about three-day waits in the Torah. Avraham Avinu waited 3 days or journeyed for 3 days before getting to Har HaMoriah to sacrifice Yitzchak. Before Har Sinai, before the Aseres HaDibros in last week Parshas Yisro, we waited 3 days. Yonah was trapped for 3 days in the belly of a fish. And Esther is waiting 3 days. And all of these 3 days are full of anticipation of a very uncertain what's about to happen and some trepidation about what's about to happen. So Esther is waiting 3 days, and finally, Vatilbash Esther Malchus. And the Medrash describes her being pale, being weak from 3 days of not eating, but she clothed herself in royal garments. She donned royalty. And the Medrash says, she put royalty upon herself, like somebody putting on an outfit that made them confident, that transformed their whole appearance. In her case, grace and bearing and queenliness, not the successor to Vashti, but a queen in her own right. And she stood in the inner court of the king's palace, nochach beis hamelach, facing the king's house. Now remember, we said in the previous parak that Esther says everybody knows that anybody who comes without permission, they have one fate in store for them, and that is to die. And the king was sitting on his throne in the throne room. So he is in the seat of judgment. He is in the seat where he could order somebody's death right away. Nochach Pesach Habayis, facing the entrance to the house, to the room, which means he can see her coming. And she comes maybe hesitantly, maybe gracefully, maybe confidently, maybe sneaking in. We don't know. The psukim don't tell us. It paints a little bit of the picture, but we have to fill in the details about how she approaches. But one would imagine she's going to approach in a wary way. And it was, vayihi can sometimes mean tragedy. We know that from many different lessons we've learned in Nach. But not in this case. When the king saw Esther the queen, Esther Hamalka, not just Esther, but Esther Hamalka, because she was clothed in royalty, Omedes Bechatzer, standing in the courtyard. So she waited. She approached the king, but she doesn't come storming in, knowing that she'll be taking her life in her hands. She waits demurely, patiently, again, waiting. Nas Achein Be'enav. And she found favor. She won his favor in his eyes. And the Medrash says that this was min hashamayim, that she found favor with him. So he noticed that she was trembling, she was weak. Vayoshet hamelech le'Esther ha'sharvit ha'zahav asher biyado. And so the king extended the golden scepter that was in his hand out towards Esther to show that she had gained his favor. He is taking her under his protection, says the Me'am Loes. The Gemara Megillah says that a malach stretched out the scepter on Achashverosh's behalf. Vatikrav Esther, and Esther approached Vatigabarosh HaSharvit, and she touched the scepter, the head of the scepter, and I don't want to get into any possible euphemisms about what that means, but certainly it's an intimacy issue that he is saying, you are my wife in every way. And she is accepting that role. So according to the Medrash, that she was with Mordechai and she had to leave Mordechai, that's a key symbolic moment, that she is accepting the husbandness of the king. Now, this is different. And later on, when she comes to beg for the life of herself and the Jewish people, it says she's going to fall at the king's feet and beg him for clemency. Later on, spoiler alert, in the party with Haman. But here, she approaches quietly. She is very strategic. She doesn't come and right away start hollering, "The Jewish people need you, save us, save us." She's being very, very careful to do it. And there's one opinion that actually, by going in to be nice to the king and then invite him to parties, the Jewish people are going to wonder if she betrayed them. Maybe she decided just to keep her life of ease while the rest of us suffer. So there's a lot of lack of clarity here, that she's not being open, but she's being careful. And having so many parties, also a very Middle Eastern thing, to dance around the point of why you're actually there and say, "We'll put it off till next time, we'll put it off till next time." That's a very Middle Eastern culture thing, as well as Japan, parts of the Far East, the same thing. The proprieties must be observed. Gimel vayomer lo hamelech, and so the king said to her, "Maloch Esther Hamalka." So this is where the Medrash says that she looks weak, she looks tired. "What is it with you, Esther Hamalka? What's going on? Is something terrible happening? Are you here because of some huge crisis? Umava koshoseich, and what is your request? Al chatzia malchus v'inosein loch. Up until half of the kingdom, and it will be given to you, half of the kingdom, not more than half of the kingdom, I'm the king." So even then, he's worried about his own status. He's offering half the kingdom, but not anything that might upend the kingdom. And the Medrash brings down, not rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, which is interesting that that would be in his mind, considering he doesn't know she is Jewish. So halfway, half of the kingdom is an unusual sort of thing. So she's kind of bedraggled. She's coming to him 3 days of fasting, maybe somewhat near death, or at least looking kind of fragile, and he's offering her half the kingdom, but even then he's conscious of what he is going to limit his promises to.